Hey everybody, welcome to the Just Over This podcast. I'm Bruce McIntosh, your host, and I'll momentarily be joined by my co-host, Don Gregory, her husband, Scott Gregory, Chad Strong, Aaron Burns, James Johnson, and we have a substitute with all those questions today, Amy Rossler. So that's going to be, they'll all be coming into our Zoom room here very momentarily. And first, I just want to say this podcast is being brought to you by the McIntosh Running Coach. I got to work on that. Anyway, I've been coaching some of the people you'll be hearing from today for over a year now, and trying to expand my coaching business. And here's if you have any interest for any spring races or beyond that even, let me know, and maybe we're a good fit and we can start working together. You can reach me, message me if you know me. You can reach me at email, justarunner65@gmail.com. And now, let's get back to the podcast. I really got to make a real promo in there. And today we're talking about Glass City Marathon. Most of us are signed up for the half, a couple doing the full marathon, and a spectator or two are also in the room. So why don't we go ahead and get started.
Today.
Good. How are you?
All right. A few more people will be here.
Oh, great.
There's Aaron Burns. Aaron, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, there you are.
Here I am. Hello.
Hi.
And I'm not running. I'm just spectating Glass City. So
that's okay. You can get a spectator point of view.
I was teasing Scott earlier because I said, I'm just going to be a spectator. And I said, maybe I can give spectator pointers. But when I spectated Scott at Cleveland, I only saw him once. Couldn't find him anymore. I said, I couldn't even find, like, I couldn't even find, like, the marathon course. Like, I couldn't find anybody. I just went to the finish line. Who else are you expecting, or is it us?
Chad's the only one I thought was coming.
Okay, here comes the man of the hour.
Yeah, right. Way too much pressure.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. We'll go ahead and get started, and if Chad gets here, we'll let him just jump in.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the last person to be on. All right, you guys can hear me better now? I got the microphone back.
There he is. We got Chad.
Oh. You know, it's a sign of the times when I got to wear my glasses. Oh,
no, you don't see me in glasses too often when I'm on it.
That's true.
Oh, Chad's in San Francisco.
He's been going there.
I'm still there.
Oh. You mind if I ask?
Still there, you guys. I haven't left. What am I doing there? Yeah. Can't tell you.
We know you're mushroom hunting with Scooby.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, there's Amy.
Amy's here.
Yeah, James is over here.
We got James.
Oh, James. Look at him. He looks like he's all cozy and cuddly.
Yeah, he's cozy.
I graduated to walking today.
Woo! Oh, boy.
You would have hated when I did yesterday. I don't know if you want to hear what I did yesterday, James, but I went to Pure Cycle and did their, I guess it's kind of a spin class.
It's a
that
cycling
sounds terrible.
Cycling class. We'll call it a cycling class.
Mm-hmm. You're coming in here.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, I told her I would continue with that program because that was their test day, that FTP. She never sent me the calculator for me to figure it out from whatever I was doing, but
we got to add you in the group then.
She did.
It's in there's a link for it.
Oh, wait. I don't know if she added me in. Maybe you could add me in the other group, see if I'm in the one you're talking about.
It's in a Facebook group. I'll add you.
But I'm not sure if I'm going to be there for everyone because they only have 15 bikes and I'm the 16th bike.
She filled it up. I didn't realize she filled up the class.
Yeah, dang. She did. So she said almost every week somebody misses. So,
yeah, if not more than one.
So as long as somebody's missing, I should be there.
Okay, cool.
All right. Amy looks impatient, so we better get started.
So that was impatience at James, not you guys.
Talking about bikes.
Okay, we won't do any work.
Hey, if I ever see you on one.
You won't, don't worry.
Life's weird that way.
We'll go ahead and get started. Amy has some questions. This is our first of our monthly, the Glass City training preparation podcast going forth. And today we are joined by Amy and James, Aaron, Scott and Don, and I think Chad's still there. He looks like he's dancing in San Francisco.
I'm here.
And Amy volunteered to, because I guess she's not going to be able to make it to Glass City. We'll go with that because James is injured. And she volunteered. She said you come up some questions to get us started today. So I hope you did your homework because, you know, she was a teacher and all. So.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to go then?
I'm ready.
Yep.
All right. So I know a while back, Bruce, you were talking about that you and Aaron were at the new year going to start your training plan for this marathon. So week or two in now, how's that going? What do the plans look like?
Well, go ahead, for me. We're not off to the best of starts, but we have 17 weeks. That was the part of the advantage of starting the first of the year. And I had gotten really, pretty much I was just going to our group runs. I was doing 3 or 4 days throughout and not getting a lot of mileage in. So I kind of got back on track this week, got 5 days in and stuff. And this week I wanted to make sure I got 5 days and make sure I get a speed work in. And I'm starting to cross train. That's where the biking conversation came in. I'm trying to use that as one of my cross training days. And I want to do that and try to get some sort of strength training in once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm. Aaron? Mine is not going so well. First of all, I was waiting until I saw a cardiologist. When I got COVID around Labor Day, my heart has not been right since. Anytime I've done any hard activity, my heart rate has gone about 20 beats above where it should be and did not get better on its own. So I've tried some slacking off of exercise to see if that would right itself, and it doesn't seem to be doing that. So I was actually supposed to go there today, but the doctor is sick, and they rescheduled me for Thursday. So I'm kind of holding back to kind of see if he thinks it's something serious. I'm afraid I'm gonna have a heart attack if I exercise too much. So I've done some cycling on Mondays, and I've done some group runs on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And then kind of in between, I've done like short bouts of cycling on my own at home. But other than that, I've tried to keep it easy until I get kind of like an all clear to see, mm-hmm. you know, if there's really truly an issue or like what the plan of action needs to be. So I'm hoping that Thursday I'll get an all clear. But until then, I'm just kind of slacking.
Right. Well, not slacking. Being careful.
Yeah, something like that.
Smart about it.
Something like that.
Yeah. So Scott, Chad, any thoughts on how your training is going so far?
Yeah, the year's going off halfway decent, I think. 9 days in. So, hey, you know, it's a good string together so far. At the end of last year, I started having my piriformis syndrome kick back in a little bit. So in fact, at the Christmas party, I could barely sit and stand. It depended if I was one place or another. It didn't really matter. And that's starting to get resolved. And so I took the whole week off between Christmas and New Year, which helped. And now I started back. So I had some decent runs the last couple of days. And we'll see what happens. I'm going to try a long run this weekend. The biggest thing I have to work on for my goals is weight. So I did start that on time. So I have talked about in the past, I like to do keto for a period of time during training, especially in the beginning part, as it kind of helps your different metabolism systems kick in. And it really isn't that bad once you get past the hump. So I'm fully into it right now. It sucks going up a hill. But in general, you know, it feels, I mean, actually I'm healing and I feel pretty good right now. So we'll see how long I can keep it going.
Good. Good. You know, Chad? Oh, sorry, Scott. Chad? Oh, you're muted.
I can't. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now we can.
Okay. All right. Yeah, things are going pretty well for me. I just continue to keep training and be ready for whatever comes my way. So I kind of have decided probably to do the half if I go to Glass City. So I'll do the half because I'm trying to get a marathon scheduled maybe for like June or something. I just have to figure out what I'm doing and where because I want to give myself a little extra time to train and because I want to try to go under 3 hours. And so I don't think April will be good timing for me, and I'm focusing better on nutrition, more strength training, and I'll be focusing on increasing my mileage because I averaged like 42 miles a week last year. And so if I'm going to do it, I'm gonna up that. And so overall I feel pretty good about things right now. I just have to keep healthy. So far so good.
You mentioned doing the half at Glass City. I mean, Glass City is a fast course. That's why I thought you might be interested if you got that time goal, but because I'd be worried about the heat if you're talking about June.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find out, like where I would do that at if it were June. You know, it's like almost either you got to do spring or fall, but so I'm still debating. But either way, if I do decide to do the marathon there, at least I'm already going to be focusing on marathon training, so always be ready.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a couple of you already broached the topic a little, but in terms of nutrition, as we are in the new year here and you're starting new training cycles, anyone want to talk about what you're doing? I know Scott mentioned the keto, but what are you doing with your nutrition plans?
Nothing so far.
Okay.
Eating like crazy, huh?
Yeah, I've got to make some improvements now. I just kind of get it down where I'm just eating a little better than I am now. I'm not going to try to make any drastic changes all at once, but I know there's some areas I need to make improvements on. And hopefully I get that under, because since October when we ran Columbus, I'm up about 10 pounds since then. But there's been a lot of stress eating this year, so I think it caught up to me.
Yeah, holidays and stress and winter.
Yeah, for me.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, for me personally, you know, towards the latter part of marathon training for Columbus, I realized, because I would do some of the keto thing, intermittent fasting thing as well. So I kind of changed that up a little bit and started doing more like protein in the morning because I felt I wasn't getting enough protein with all the training and stuff, you know? And so I really had to focus on that. And so I'm continuing to do that in the mornings and stuff, do like a protein shake and, you know, stuff like that, increasing my calories a little bit. And next round I was always afraid to do a lot of carbs in the morning. A lot of people like to eat in the morning, get those carbs. I was always afraid because of my blood sugar and all that, how I would react. Typically, I have a problem afternoon if I have carbs and then go run, do an evening.
I think we may have dropped Chad out for a second. Aaron, did you want to add anything? Well, he maybe tries to get back in.
Yes. Maybe I'll wait a second. I think he's back.
Oh, there I think he's back.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know where I left off, but now I'm finding out that I really think I, because you're basically fasting all night, and so whatever you eat in the morning, you'll burn pretty quickly. And so I'm going to experiment more with actually eating in the mornings before long runs, before a marathon, fueling better. Yes. So I was always afraid before. So now I'm turning that corner, and I think it'll work out much better for me.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me too. So I know James always has to start his like eating and drinking ritual like 3 hours before a long run on Saturday mornings, and I'm like roll out of bed. And
it makes a huge difference, especially for your long runs, getting something in.
Yeah,
I have my favorite go-to is Bobo's oat bar. I'll eat one of those like an hour and a half, 2 hours before, and with some water and a cup of coffee, and give it some time, and then go run about 2 hours after that.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
Bobo's. You're up at 1 a.m. to fuel for your 3 a.m. run.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
No, so that's just for my long runs. During the week, I just eat like a honey stinger. A honey stinger waffle, and that's all I do during the week. But my long runs, I definitely get in some carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Chad,
So I'm also trying to up the protein as well. So I've been adding in some additional for breakfast and for lunch. I don't seem to have an issue so much at dinner. So I'm focusing on that. And then also going to change up my running nutrition this year to the cyst gels to see if I can take in some more carbs during the getting approval from the non-bike rider, James. So I can get more carbs in, and Brandon also will be doing the same thing. So we'll see how that works out. I'm excited to try it and see if we have any success with that.
James, I don't know what you would think about this idea, but if you get a biker shirt, they got all those pockets in the back. And if you got to carry like 20 of those things, you might want one of those shirts.
I might wear one to carry some gels around.
When I look at the nutrition, so training season, I think I'm on the same bandwagon where I'm trying to get my protein up to about like 1.8 to 2 grams per 100, or what is that, per pound, I believe is like the calculation, if I have it right. And per kilogram, sorry. Okay. Anyhow, I find though, if I have carbohydrates in the morning, I'm hungry all day, and that keeps me eating all day. And then, but also on the keto, I watch my glucose. I mean, I don't have any issues with diabetes, but if I'm fully keto, I find that my blood sugar is actually higher and more steady than it is when I'm eating carbohydrates. So I'll wake up in the morning and I'll find my blood sugar like 98 to 105, and then it will stabilize around 85 throughout the day. And I don't know why, but it does. And so the key, I think, this year is that once I'm done with the keto, get my weight down, I get myself as how do I transition properly back into a normal carbohydrate diet, which I've been successful at it before, but not always. You know, I let it go and I get into my habits of, oh, I like cookies and donuts. Yeah. I'll find an excuse either way. When it comes to running nutrition, though, I mean, I come back and, I mean, when I started running before a lot of these things were out there, I never developed the ability to digest or put anything in my stomach. And the problem I have is even with the newer stuff, I tend to get sick or foam. You know, I get a lot of foaming in my stomach, especially on the fast long runs, and haven't got past that yet. And the only thing that works so far are the waffles seem to work okay if I can chew them, but my mouth is usually a little bit dry or I'm busy breathing, which means I inhale crumbs. So I haven't quite solved that issue yet. And for me, I mean, I did pretty well without it in the past. If the key is hydration and electrolytes. And if I can get food in, great. And I'm going to have to learn how to. It's my goal is to run an Ironman this year sometime, or at least a half.
Mm-hmm.
I'll need it for that.
Yeah, definitely challenging and take some training for the body and some tough times in the meantime while you get it figured out, for sure. All right, so Bruce, I'll start with you on this one. So you've run the Glass City Marathon several times.
Twice.
At this point, what, just the marathon once? So you're going back?
No, I've done the marathon twice there.
Okay, so this will be your third?
We're doing the half there this year.
The half is
mixing
so
it up.
So what about this marathon makes you continue to go back?
It's just been a very well put on marathon. I've always enjoyed the course. You don't get as much crowd support on parts of it like you do in a bigger one like Columbus and, you know, my break. But overall, I think it's really good. That's part of the reason I like running out on the bike trail there, because it actually gives you a lot of the same type of running you're going to be doing Toledo. And just overall, I've just had good experiences every time we went there, both times I've been there. And it is a fast course, even for, I mean, my times might not look it, but they're better. I think I've been just a little bit faster there than I have at other marathons, comparatively speaking. And I thought they had a decent expo, which I mean, it's not as big. I don't think they're as big as they were a few years back. I think COVID kind of changed the size. Seems like to me they all seem smaller now after COVID. And I don't know. I think we just had a good time last year. I did give you a glass mug when you finish. I liked the shirt they gave us. And as ambassador last year, I got other shirts. So it's really been an enjoyable experience. And last year, I think it was even more enjoyable because like Scott and Don were there, and Stacy Sowers and daughter Kirsty was there. And, you know, I already mentioned your crowd support. I'm trying to think what else, but they do put on a very good race.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, you're going into something well organized, well run, no surprises, yeah. Right? Except maybe the weather.
You can never count on the weather. You can't.
This is April 28th, right?
Yes.
So we can hope that it's, you know, decent, but you never know. So.
Very sure.
Distance classic, and on March.
There's two races you can almost guarantee the weather on. Well, one doesn't exist anymore. The distance classic, you know, we're gonna have a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And when Canton Marathon was here, they got rid of that. Not having the Canton Marathon, we knew it was gonna hit 80 degrees that day. It could have been 40 the day before, but it would have hit 80 degrees the day of the Canton Marathon.
And right.
I think I ran it three. Yeah, I ran Canton three times, and three times it hit 80. So.
All right. So that's a great segue into the next question. And I want to hear from all of you. Maybe this will help me and help James, because it's not our best thing. So you're going to be doing a lot of training through the heart of the winter here. So how are you mentally preparing? How are you going to make sure that you keep up with your training on days like this, where there are 40 mile per hour wind gusts or a foot of snow, things like that? How do you stay motivated?
I can answer it. Look at the people in the room. I'm counting on them to help me get through it.
Well, luckily running's my sanity check. So I do that at lunchtime, and I got my run in today and got hit by branches from the trees. We used to train up north in New York. So, I mean, the weathers here aren't bad except for the cars, but it's hard to get out. I find it harder and harder to get out as I get older too. So I have a new friend. Hopefully we'll get him on the podcast next time when we get him to sign up. lives in the Hubbard area. So
yeah, he's been running with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we ended up running today. So we're using each other as motivation to get out in these lousy days.
I must have missed you guys today. I was out around lunchtime. Before lunchtime.
Okay.
I heard the story about your new friend. He was trying to catch you a couple of times. He couldn't catch you. And and finally realized who you were and stuff. And that was pretty funny.
It was funny because Don was telling us the story how he was talking to her about some guy that was running through Hubbard. And he couldn't catch up to him.
It's Scott. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, the problem is he's going to be fast. Yeah. And I don't think he realizes what kind of condition that he's in. And, just since we became friends, I mean, he's already picked up the pace quite a bit. And, you know, he held with me today at a 7:30 pace. For him, it's still a threshold, but it's not going to take him long before that becomes his average run for the day. Because then that means I get to push faster too. So,
well, I ran over one day and he was talking about he's really wanting to hold off on doing the races till he can really get the time that he wants. He isn't one of those people that's just going to jump in and see where he's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're going to get him to.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling him. Like, just do the distance classic. It's a great community event. Just see where you're at. And he's like, no, I'm not ready. So we'll see. Might be able to still peer pressure him into it.
Yeah. Well, one day I tell him that one day he'll be like I am, and Bruce will say, "Hey, let's go to the race today." And I'm like, "Oh, okay."
He has that effect on people.
I don't necessarily shy away from the cold or the snow or anything, but today was a miserable day. But luckily, I had planned on going to the YSU track to do some track work this morning. So that worked out very well.
I thought you just brought a shirt to work.
Yeah. But if it's really bad out, I'm not one to run on a treadmill. I like to run outside. But if it's really dangerous and really bad, obviously, I don't want to get injured. But I may switch up the day that I take off. If it's real bad one day, I'll take off that day and hope there's a better day another day, right? Go to Planet Fitness or something. But yeah,
that's what I do. I'm not an associate member of Planet Fitness, but I have my membership data. So when the weather's really, really bad, my nickname is Grace. I tend to fall. So and it hurts more now than it did in the past. So when it gets really slick and icy and choppy, especially if it's dark or dim out, I'll go to Planet Fitness instead.
Yeah.
Did you have something there?
I would probably mimic what Bruce said. A lot of the time, it's other people that help to get me outdoors on days that are really crappy. But I drop the limit at ice. If it's icy out, I won't go out. I'll treadmill it I'll switch a day. Mm-hmm. And the older I get, the colder it gets outside, you might not find me out there either.
Yeah.
It's starting to really bug me.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I also agree with you guys that if I know I'm meeting up with someone or it's a group run, it definitely gets out there. And once you get going, it's never as bad as you think that it was going to be.
Yeah. That first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially if you have to walk it.
Yeah. I think Saturday it took me like almost 2 miles to get warm. I just could not get warm. So took a long time. All right. So kind of thinking about when you typically run a marathon, run a half marathon, is there a certain point in the race that seems to be like your sticking point where you know it's going to get hard? And if so, what's your plan? Do you have a certain fueling plan you're going to use, something with your pacing, maybe like a mantra that you say to yourself? Like, how do you get through that tough part that you know is going to happen?
I think for like the half marathon, that's my favorite distance. So I don't really feel like there's like a point where it's like so tough, but like I like to break things into chunks, especially the longer distance events that I do. Like there has to be some way to like get through a certain part of it to like know like you're almost to whatever it is. So like when I get to like mile 6, 6.5, I'm like, okay, I'm halfway there. I just got to do this all over again. As long as like my feeling is good, mentally, like I just remember like to smile. And so, like for the 70.3 I did last year, I told myself I can and I will, just over and over again. So like, I know I can do this. This isn't your first rodeo, like buck up and let's go. Like, so I just try to stay positive as much as I can. It can get tough out there. It's definitely more of a mental thing than it is physical, especially like for that distance.
I've never actually used the mantra. I've thought about trying to get one, and then by race day, I forget when it is, I guess. but I agree with her. I've always tried to, like, for the marathon, I try to break it into like 10, 10, and 10K. Same thing with the half. It's just 5, 5, and a 5K. And I think that helps you. Okay, you reach a certain point, you know, and, you know, just try to trust your process, trust what you did in training, and hope it works. And usually I'm the half, like she said, I actually agree with her. I think that's like my favorite distance to run, even though I do have something, there's something about the marathon keeps pulling me back in, that I want to feel like I gave it my best effort and did it right. But there's so many things that can go wrong with the marathon. I think you got to build that toughness up in knowing that you put in the miles, you've done training, you've done everything you can to be ready. And
yeah, I know. And that my marathon was my first marathon. I was like water stop to water stop by probably mile 16 or 17. Like, just get to the next water stop, which was probably not the best strategy, but it was all I had at that point. So
it works.
It worked. I made it. So.
I used to try mantras, but they always turned into something I couldn't repeat about mile 18. You know, if I'm going to blow up on a race, it's about 18 to 20. And that'll be more pace driven, especially if I go out way too fast.
Sometimes one.
Once I get past 20, I'm good. Huh?
Sometimes one. Mile one.
Well, I didn't want to bring that up. Okay. Yeah.
At one time.
So I have a goal for the Glass City. And so it is one of the marathons that I've never finished. And hopefully I get past mile one without tossing the tile in, because that's what happened last year. I hit about mile one. I said, this ain't going to happen today. And so I diverted to finish the half and
right
the rest of the day. But yeah.
You got over the hump with Columbus. This is going to be cakewalk for you.
Yeah, it actually, Columbus was the first race that I really, really felt good the whole way through. And it started, you know, again, my pace. I actually paid attention to what I was supposed to do, where I started out slow and just kind of slowly tweaked the pace up until I was comfortable, and pretty much held it there the whole way. I mean, 20, you have that little bit of a hill about, was it, Chad, what was it? Right after the stadium there, it was a little bit of
yeah.
A
bump.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, I was questioning my sanity, but after that, it came right back.
I think that was like mile 19, maybe between 19 and 20.
Yeah.
I remember coming around there and seeing you just starting to go around the stadium. I'm like, wow, he's looking good. I was very happy to see you there. You did really well the whole way.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that run. So.
Yeah.
I was happy. I'm like, I'm doing better than I thought I was.
Yeah, one of the things for me, you know, like everybody says, yeah, so many things can go wrong during a marathon. I only have two under my belt. But I'm the kind of person that I'm pretty, you know, I don't necessarily need a crowd to motivate me, but it does help. And if there's no crowd, then I'll find it within me to, you know, think of something positive or just keep focusing forward and pushing along. But I have to say, you know, in Columbus, you know, going down those streets when everybody's saying your name and you're wondering, how the heck do they know my name? Do I know that person? They're reading it on your bib. Yes. So you realize you're really not special. But I do have to say, I was actually cheering the crowd on. I'm just saying things to them when they're cheering us on. I'm like, you guys are looking great, you know? And so it kind of kept my mind. I was having fun with the crowd, you know, being able to talk and say stuff to them and all that. So that kind of really helped to get me through, actually. They're probably like, who is this crazy guy? We're cheering him on. He's over here cheering us on like we're doing something, you know? That's the kind of stuff I like to do.
All right. Great. That's great advice, I think, to people listening. It'll help some other runners out, too. So while you're up in Toledo for this race, any other plans? I know we've, you know, in the past done some pretty cool things like taking photos with giant coffee pots and other life-size sculptures and things. So anything in Toledo that you're looking to do or like dinner plans?
We're working on the dinner plans. I guess I know last year we did Spaghetti Warehouse. I thought it worked out, but then somebody told me it didn't work for Scott. Could have been when he ordered. And I did look around to see if we could find a coffee pot or something to go get a picture of, but I haven't found anything yet. But if you were coming, Amy, I'd probably put a lot more effort into that. But
yeah, sure. Find us something.
But yeah, we'll find somewhere and get the whole group together for dinner. Scott, you don't want Spaghetti Warehouse, I think.
I may pass on that one, but I'll kind of stay away from red sauces for a while. I like it, but I tend to taste it for days. And that's part of my system. I know better.
Well, we're open to suggestions.
Tony, I have a friend that lives in the area. So yeah, Tony Paco's.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's pretty famous out that way.
Yeah, we used to go from up in that area, so we used to go there quite often.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody like of my family that passes through from Michigan to Ohio always likes to stop there. So yeah. That might be a treat, maybe after the race is done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe save that for afterwards.
Yeah, that's probably a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, you said you were from there. We'll let you find the place then.
Actually, you got me thinking. It's been a while. I mean, Toledo's changed a lot since. I'm getting up there in years, I guess. That's what I'm saying. But so there's definitely some things to do there. I'll contact my friend and see what's happening up there.
I have an old friend that lives in the area as well, so I'll reach out to him and see if he suggests anything. Maybe I'll even get him to run it.
There you go.
There you go.
What a mirror.
All right. Anyone want to add anything else? Any questions I didn't ask that you were dying to talk about tonight?
Well, right now we're just getting, like I said, just getting started on training. It's going better for some than others. And I know some of you people I've been with during your best races and your worst. So hopefully this is one of our best ones.
Yes.
All right. So. Who's doing anybody doing the Distance Classic in Youngstown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, man.
I'd like to.
I've been debating about it. So but I'm looking at it as a training run for Toledo.
Right.
Slightly more hilly. I was disappointed they didn't go back to the old course, but I found out they're still at the newer course, well, like it was last year.
Yeah,
they didn't move the finish line back to WIC. Scott,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's just
Rose Garden.
Scott, you never ran it on the old course, did you?
No, but I got taken through that course a couple times during training. It kind of separates a few of the people, that last little bit of climb.
Last mile is just, it would be hard to imagine a harder route. And they take that out going when you, on the new course, it's all flat going in.
Yeah.
But the last mile, and then you got the big hill up WIC, and it's just, get that.
Well, if they bring back the old course, we'll all have to run it for nostalgic purposes.
So we're starting at the log cabin. Is that the start and finish again for this one?
Finish at the log cabin. You start up top at
that's right.
Rose Garden, the neighborhood by the Rose Garden.
Yep.
which is really nice. The Rose Garden's so beautiful to, you know, be in, be able to use that building. So it works out nicely there too.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee your time will be 5 to 10 minutes slower than it will be in Toledo.
19 hills.
Distance Classic is still my PR.
Yeah.
I'm the oddball out. Mm-hmm.
The old course or the current course?
The new course. But I also PR'd on the old course too. I PR'd that race 3 times.
Wow.
Over the years. I think I've ran it 6 times, I think. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great course, though. I mean,
it is.
The hills are not necessarily slow.
No.
Marathon is
Pittsburgh. There's enough up and down that you're to go down the hills also. So,
yeah. The rolling hill course, they say, can be your fastest type of course. Mm-hmm. You get some different muscle usage.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hurt for days after a flat race and a hilly race. It's not so bad.
I hurt for days regardless. Not a half, but.
Well, Amy, since you're not doing Glass City, are you going to continue to be our hostess here for our
Our monthly check-ins?
Yes.
Yeah, I think probably that would work. You could do that. Check in on how those training plans are going about a month from now.
And what's your plans? Do you have a race in mind for the spring or further? Or?
I'm not sure yet. I really enjoyed doing the half at Presque Isle last summer. I don't mind the heat, so I probably will, you know, do the Distance Classic, and then we'll likely do that again in July. And then I'm kind of warming up to the idea of maybe a fall marathon again. I said never again, but I'm thinking about it. So we'll see. I don't know which one.
See how these guys get you into the stuff.
One.
Dude, you're the best and the worst.
It's not all our fault. She also has a distance runner she's living with.
Oh, yeah. We'll blame James.
Yeah,
we talked some about
got skin in the game.
Few of us have talked about wine glassing. I think you'd really like that one because it's scenic, point to point, beautiful finish. It's a really nice area to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So. When is that
flat? Beginning of October.
Oh,
it's,
okay,
it's pretty flat. Yeah. It's known for being fast.
Yeah, I don't mind some hills. I kind of agree that a little bit of hills. It does help with the muscles. And
well, one other thing about Glass City, I know Toledo, when they were rating the top I can't remember where Wine Glass was, the top Boston qualifier finishers for 2023, Glass City came in 10th. I know Wine Glass was on the list. I think it was around 20th.
Mm-hmm.
I should check that out because I'm not positive on that, but they were Erie fell down some, but I think they had a really hot day.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's an unpredictable race temperature wise.
Yeah, it's in September.
Early September.
Yeah. Everybody, it's a fast course and it's flat, and concrete makes it fast if you want to really punish your legs. But I'm happy to. I love the half there, but to mm-hmm. do two loops, that would, I think it would be really tough.
Yeah.
Right. Anybody else? Anything?
No.
Well, Chad, we'll let you get back to your mushroom picking. Scooby's probably all ahead.
I finally just got home.
Yeah. Let me know if you meet Paul Stemmitz or somebody out there or something.
Have you run right, across the bridge? That's
No.
All right. Well, we'll get going. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Thank you for Amy for hosting and coming up with the questions. Thanks, James, for laying on the couch.
You're welcome. Hard work.
Somebody's got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Amy. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Amy.
Right. Sure.
Can you come up with more questions for next month?
I absolutely can come up with more questions. Yes.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, let's all have a good week. Hopefully we'll have a little better week training and get some medical good news for you, Aaron. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Happy training.